Ladies and gentlemen, we are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers!
What up, I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. Yeah, turn that down a little
bit.
My bad. That's all right. Hey, I know the most about sports. That's why I run the show and I give the sports opinions and the sports facts.
Okay, my name is Eddie, and I don't know much about sports, but I do watch sports, so I don't want people to think that, like, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I watch it. I'm just not a sports knowledgeable guy. Like, I don't know who's on what team or whatever, so, but I do love sports, and I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're the sore losers.
All right.
We're missing one. We're missing Ray, which is kind of, can we explain Ray's situation a little bit? Like,
he's been working double shifts.
He's been working a lot,
and so he can't make it all the time, and that's okay. And when he can make it, we like having him here. And when he can't make it, we understand, and we don't get mad at him, except for sometimes, and then we move on, and we do the show ourselves, and that's it.
The only time I get mad at him is when we schedule a time, and he says, I'm in, and then he doesn't show up.
Right, that's the only time.
Yeah.
Do you ever say something to him?
I'll make a joke.
Oh, and then what's he say?
And then he just laughs it off, and that's it.
Okay.
But deep inside, I'm a little like, come on, man, get it together.
Yeah. I got you. Okay, you ready to play the game?
Oh, God.
It's called Which is Worse.
Oh, God.
You ready?
Go.
Police say a family hosting a pair of foreign exchange students, the man of the house was busted for installing a camera in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so he's facing charges. Or is it worse that these people that have a camera in their house busted the repairman sniffing the wife's underwear?
So the same camera caught
No. Two different cases.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
One guy is a repairman, and they just have a camera in their house,
yeah.
And they busted him sniffing the wife's underwear, or the guy that is hosting exchange students putting a camera in the bathroom.
Well, they're both pretty messed up. I mean, I think cameras in the house is pretty messed up. You know, you're like kind of sick. You're a little sick. I don't understand the camera in the bathroom thing. That's beyond sick. Like, who wants to see anyone go to the restroom or change or get out of the shower or whatever? I say that's messed up. I mean,
so the sniffing the underwear is okay.
I just think they're both pretty screwed up. I just think that the camera in the bathroom for the foreign exchange student is worse.
Okay.
You?
Well, I don't really get sniffing the underwear.
I don't either.
Like, what does that do for you?
Dogs like it.
Dogs just like smells, though. I'm not a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why you'd want to go sniff a woman's underwear. Like, it just makes no sense to me. I could understand wanting to see someone naked getting in the shower.
I get that. But I guess it's the going to the bathroom part.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's what they're looking for, but maybe they're just filming so they can see him in the shower. Okay, get it. But sniffing the underwear?
Yeah.
Why? That is so disgusting.
Okay.
Like, sniff their jeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, these games are getting a little weird.
No.
Can we do different topics?
What?
Like we started pretty PC. Like,
no, the first game we ever played.
Yes.
Which is worse?
Yeah, having sex with an animal. What was it?
Yes, it was the animal one or one of those.
Right.
And so that
okay, but then
a dead corpse. The other
right,
one was a dead corpse.
Right, but then we went in a better direction with, like, you know, roll-on deodorant or spray. Like that. I like that a little better than, like, drug addict, alcoholic, camera in the bathroom, or catching the repairman sniffing underwear. You know what I mean?
I understand, but these are the scenarios. Like, these are news stories.
Well, you act like it's a list that you just, hey, they're already there. I got to go through them. They're not. You pick these. These
right.
Come from your head.
No, they don't come from my head. I read news stories, and I'm like, oh, which one's worse?
God, our world's sick.
Well, yes, of course. There's so many people in it. Of course, there's going to be some sick things going on. There's people that are messed up in the head. And these are two of them.
I'm just saying, this isn't the only repairman out there sniffing underwear.
Right, and it's not the only person putting a camera in the bathroom.
God.
It happens.
All right. So there we go, 1-1.
Yeah.
We're split decision.
So yeah, go to our Twitter, Sore Loser Show on Twitter, and let us know what's worse, sniffing the underwear or putting the camera in the bathroom.
Hey, and we should talk about subscribing and rating our podcast early. Just in case people don't make it to the end of the
podcast.
Okay,
go for it.
Yeah, so wherever you listen to podcasts, go to the bottom and you can give us 5 stars. Don't give us anything less than 5 stars. Give us 5 stars and then rate us. And then say what you think about the show. Say we're awesome. Say we're great.
And tell your friends. Like, share it on Twitter, Facebook, whatever you use social media-wise, Pinterest. Tell your friends. So
Pinterest?
Maybe, yeah, people use Pinterest.
For what?
I don't know. It's usually mostly women. Pin things.
That's where they find how to make cupcakes spiders.
You can pin your favorite thing so they can pin the Sore Losers podcast.
Can they really?
It. Absolutely. So yeah, go ahead and do that on Instagram or what is it called? Pinterest.
Pinterest.
Yeah. Tell your friends. Did you watch the game last night?
Of course I watched the game last night.
Thoughts?
Well, I told you the Vikings were not going to be as bad as they were last week.
I told you that too.
The Vikings were all right. They were good. It was quite a game. I mean, I loved it. It was like Rocky III, like boom, 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 back and forth. But then the Rams are the much better team.
Yeah. If you like offense, it was a great game.
The Rams are a better team. Kirk Cousins and Thielen, connection of the night for sure. Debatable. It could have been Kupp and Goff.
Or Cooks or Woods.
I think the connection of that was Thielen and Cousins for sure, just because I called that.
Well, you called it. Do you understand the quarterback throwing it to the number one wide
Thielen
receiver?
Thielen is not their number one.
You want to bet?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is?
Diggs is.
Really? According to what? Like, what makes him
according
the number
to the depth chart.
According? No. It's just where they line up.
Well, then why is Thielen always in the slot? The slot's never the
number
one.
Because he's a slot, right? That's how he gets
He's not their number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Go check the stats last year, see who had more receptions.
I'm talking about this year, 2018.
No. Who had more catches and more yards last year? Who had more catches and more yards last year?
Thielen or Diggs?
Yeah.
So that's how you decide who their number one is. Who got more yards last year?
And he gets more targets this year. He's the number one wide receiver on their team.
Will you give me credit when I say something? When I say something bold and it's true, will you give me credit?
That's not bold, saying that they're going to throw the ball to their number one wide
receiver. It's so bold. There are how many receivers in the league right now? How many quarterbacks? That's bold. They are the connection of the year.
They are not.
Fine.
Anyway.
Fine. Talk about the game.
The Rams, I know we've only played one game into the fourth week of the season. The Rams are the best team in the NFL. They are the best team in the NFL, and they are... They have to be odds.
All-around best team?
All-around best team, odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. They have weapons. The only position I don't think they are dangerous is tight end. Higby or whatever, no one's ever... They
don't even know who that is.
They don't throw the ball to their tight end. But everywhere else, they are loaded. I mean, you can't double-team wide receivers. You got Kupp, Woods, Cooks. I mean, how do you stop that?
You can't.
Stellar wide receivers. One of them's always open.
Yeah. And Cooper Kupp is just throwing the ball perfectly. I mean, he's just throwing great, great, great shots.
Yeah.
After
shot. And how many shots did he throw last night?
I don't know.
Yeah, because Jared Goff plays quarterback, so Cooper Kupp catches the ball.
Oh, did I say Goff? Did I say Kupp?
Yeah, he said Kupp is throwing darts.
I meant Goff.
Goff looked great. That's amazing. Troy Aikman made a great point last night about how coaching makes such a difference. You think, okay, they're in the NFL. Coaching doesn't really matter. Coaching is everything. 2 years ago, Jeff Fisher was the coach of the Rams, and they won like two games. Jared Goff looked like the biggest bust in NFL history.
Yeah, he couldn't throw a spiral, I heard.
He was terrible. It just shows you they get McVay in there, and oh my gosh, all of a sudden Jared Goff is the best quarterback in the NFL. He looks like a number one pick. He looks like he's supposed to be. So that tells me, A, Jeff Fisher was a terrible, terrible football coach.
Yeah.
And I am glad to see
terrible, obviously.
No,
he was
terrible,
coaching in the NFL.
Terrible.
Obviously, he's coaching in the NFL. He's better than the high school coach.
But he's
down
terrible.
The street.
Like, they couldn't do anything. He had the same.
So if you went in and coached the Rams.
They would be terrible.
You'd be better than Fisher.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, I just said no.
Okay.
I'm talking, Eddie, you can't compare Jeff Fisher to you and I.
Why not?
I'm comparing him to other NFL coaches.
Okay.
When you compare, like saying, let's say, who's a terrible quarterback in the NFL? Blaine Gabbert. He's a backup for the Titans. He's terrible. Of course, he is elite. He is one of the best in the world compared to you and I.
So it's not fair that you say he's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's disrespectful to him. I mean, if you were Blaine Gabbert, wouldn't you listen to this podcast and be like, God, man, this guy's pissing me off. I'm not terrible. I'm a good quarterback. Just got a bad team. I've had a bad year.
Blaine Gabbert's terrible compared to the other NFL quarterbacks.
I don't think it's fair you say he's terrible.
Why?
The same way I don't say teams are great. I can't say teams are great. You can't say Blaine Gabbert's terrible. You can't say that Nickelback sucks. They're obviously a good band. I just don't like their music.
Oh my gosh. You understand what I'm saying. Compared to other professionals, they're not as good.
Okay.
He's not as good. He's terrible. He's terrible compared to Tom Brady.
Fine, I'll let you have it.
That's what I'm saying. So, anyway, Jeff Fisher compared to other NFL coaches, terrible. And what annoyed me for so long is the NFL, a coach would get fired, Jeff Fisher from the Titans. Then another team just hires him. Okay, he gets fired there. Another team hires him. They would just hire the same coaches over and over and over and never try anything new. Finally, we're in a new generation of coaches. I mean, the Rams go out and hire Sean McVay. What a great, they took a chance on an offensive coordinator that, hey, who knows if he's going to be any good.
32-year-old?
He's 32 years old.
Pretty amazing.
But the Rams, best team in the NFL. And Aikman last night on the broadcast said, it's amazing what difference coaching makes.
Yeah.
He goes, because Goff, a couple years ago, looked terrible. You bring Sean McVay in, give him some coaching, and look at him. And so that just tells you that coaches are important.
Well, there is something I see in that team that a lot of other teams don't have. They've got, like, excitement. They get pumped when there's a good play. They get pumped when they score a touchdown. Other teams, they're kind of just like, all right, cool, whatever. I've always heard stories of Super Bowl teams. Like, you knew the 1990s, you know, 95 Cowboys. Like, there was so much energy in that locker room. Whatever year the Cowboys.
I mean, that's so long ago. People don't even remember the Cowboys won a Super Bowl.
No, I'm using that as an example. That team was different. They were all pumped. They were excited. They were like, there was just fire in the locker room every game. And this is kind of what I see on the sideline of the Rams. Like, they get pumped in. McVay goes out there and gives them a chest bump every time they score. Like, you don't see that in a lot of teams. And yeah, I believe that's a huge indicator on a team that's going to go far like this year. They've got the talent. Yes, they got the weapons. They've got the great coaching, but they've also got energy behind their team and fire. And I'm with you, man.
You can tell their players love Sean McVay. They like playing for him
and
as a coach.
Him.
Yes. But the energy thing comes from winning. When you're winning and you're doing it in style, that's what happens.
Well, it's kind of like when you're in a streak, like in golf. Like, you know, you're hot. Like,
yeah, you're pumped up.
You're right.
Like, if they're down 36-7 last night, they're not going to be doing the same thing.
Sure. You know? But as long as they have that momentum and they keep that fire going, I mean, they could be unstoppable. They really could.
Well, yeah, they're going to win the West. I mean, the NFC West is terrible.
Yeah.
With the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Cardinals, they're 4-0. I mean, that division's over. Wrap it up. They're the division winners.
Dude, you know what sucks? And I feel for Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips was the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He's the defensive coordinator for the Rams now. He is what, 85 years old? 90? 100? And his boss is 32 years old. Like, that hurts my heart a little bit. It's got to hurt him a little bit, you know, that his boss was I saw an image last night. Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals, I believe, when McVay was born. I mean, and you're taking orders from him now. That's got to suck. Does that hurt a little bit?
I don't think it hurts at all.
Oh, my God.
I think he realizes that he is a good defensive coordinator. He's one of the best defensive coordinators in football. And so he just wasn't cut out to be a head coach. He's still making a couple million dollars a year. And he has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. That's what he really wants. He just wants to coach football. He's 71 years old. He may not have the energy to be a head coach anymore.
Well, he thought he did 5 years ago.
Right, and he wasn't good enough. And so he's like, you know what? I'm a defensive coordinator. It just happens sometimes.
God,
you're
sucks.
Meant to be a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator. That's it.
That for sure makes you feel like you're going downhill, right? Like, that's...
No, because he's still at the top of his game as a defensive coordinator. He's still one of the best in the league. At 71 years old, that tells him, man, I'm really valuable. Like, if he was fired today, another team would hire him like that.
Like, he goes home and he's like, talks to his wife. He's like, oh, man, what a day. We're great. Let's start drinking. Oh, hold on. My boss is calling me. 32-year-old McVay. Hey, boss. Yeah. Oh, you need me in right now? Okay, no problem. All right, bye. Got to go to the office because the boss needs a 32-year-old boss.
See, I think you're looking at it wrong.
I don't know.
I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think at 71 years old, you don't care. You're happy you're a defensive coordinator. You love having talent and you love the game of football. Because there's only 32 defensive coordinators. There's only 32 jobs, that job in the whole world. And so you're one of 32.
I get it. That's what Mike Fisher was, one of 32 too.
His name's Jeff Fisher.
Whatever his name is. Who's Mike Fisher?
Fred's, is yeah. What?
Yeah, the Fred's.
Yeah, yeah. He's married to Carrie Underwood.
All right, what's that?
Did you? This is a couple days old, and I've been meaning to get to this.
What?
Cheering at the games.
Yeah. Let's sack that quarterback. Sack that quarterback.
So there's a little 8-year-old girl at an Astros game, and she's cheering. Like, hey, bada, swing, bada, you know, doing things like that, like yelling.
Yeah.
And some grouchy old hag, little freaking nasty woman, turns around and goes, that's enough.
Yeah.
And tells her to be quiet.
We've talked about this before, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell this lady, I hope she is banned from going to Astros games. For the rest of her life, they should never sell her a ticket again.
I agree.
Absolutely. Put her name on a no-sell list.
Yeah, her face on
facial a picture, recognition, yeah. And put posters up and be like, if you see this lady in the stadium, you get $100 if you turn her
in. Ooh, a reward.
Absolutely.
Love that.
You loser.
Yes.
What is wrong with going to a game and cheering?
Old grouchy people, man.
I hate it. The whole point of going to a game and being a fan is to stand up and cheer. I experienced this last year, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, second round. The Nashville Predators were playing someone. I don't even know who they were playing. And I go and I am standing up cheering, and the people behind me are yelling, sit down, take a seat, show some respect.
Some respect to who?
To them. Because they paid the same amount of money as I paid for my ticket. And if you want to sit there and be quiet, stay at home on your couch. That way no one blocks your view. If you want to be a true fan, show up to the game, yell. And if you don't want to yell, that's fine. But don't get mad at telling when someone stands up and cheers. And when an 8-year-old's yelling at the players, don't tell them enough. Enough.
Yeah. I have an example for this. One time I took my wife to go see Sarah McLachlan. You know who she is? In the arms of an angel, fly away,
find comfort there.
From here. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not find comfort there?
No, it's not. But it's Valentine's Day, and I went, and it was like the most boring concert I've ever been to. And some people in front were like, yeah, like play this song. And everyone was like, sit down. Shut up. We're trying to listen to the music. And it's like, no. Like, it's a concert. I get it. Her show sucks, and it's boring. But, like, it's still a concert, and you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. If you're at a concert and you're standing up and someone tells you to sit down, you turn around and give them the bird.
Yeah, and the people yelling at Sarah McLachlan were more entertaining than the actual concert was.
So you enjoyed that.
I loved that people were up going. I told you that my dad took us to an Astros game one time, and I saw Deion. They were playing the Braves, and Deion Sanders out there. And the whole game, I'm like, Deion, Deion. People were like, shut up, kid. Like, he's not going to answer you. Sit down. He never answered me, but still, I was having fun calling Deion.
Exactly. How do they know he's not going to answer you?
Correct.
They do not know that. Sometimes they turn around and wave or throw you a ball. Let people yell at the players if they want to yell at the players, if they want to cheer. But if you want to sit there, I'm not going to get mad at you for sitting there.
It's a game.
But don't get mad at me for standing up.
I love it.
And I hate this lady. And I love that a lot of the Astros players found that video and they retweeted it and they were just like, oh, looks like this little girl needs to come back for playoff games. Don't let any lady, don't let anybody tell you you can't cheer, tell you to shut up. So yes, you stupid old hag, I hope she is getting shamed.
Yeah.
I don't know if they put her name out there yet, but I hope someone put her name out there and someone eggs her house.
Yes, or toilet papers it.
Eggs it better. Egg and
whatever.
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
And fork it.
Yeah, and slash your tires.
Yeah, and for sale sign it.
Oh, that's funny.
Have you ever done that?
No, you put a for sale sign in front of the house?
No, you go around the neighborhood or neighborhoods around, and you get 20, 30 for sale signs, and you put them all in one yard.
Oh, that means that sends the message you want her out.
Well, it's just a funny prank because you wake up and you have 30 for sale signs stuck in your yard.
But that would suck. Like, you'd be like, damn, 40 people want me to leave. Like, damn.
That doesn't mean 40 people.
It feels that way because they're for sale signs. They're like, get them out of here.
But you feel bad for the realtors because you stole their signs and put them in someone's yard? Because I've done it plenty of times.
That's probably illegal, huh? I guess everything we've mentioned is probably illegal.
Oh, yeah. Toilet papering,
egging,
forking, all that. Slashing the tires, yes.
Yeah, keying the car, yeah.
Yeah, all that's probably illegal. But so should this lady go into a game. Illegal.
Illegal.
Biggest
shocker. Put her in cuffs.
Yeah, and the biggest shocker of the last 24 hours.
Put her in cuffs.
Yeah. You know what the biggest shocker is?
What? Who? What?
Jalen Hurts.
Is he staying?
Jalen Hurts.
I don't know the story, but because it's a shocker, is he staying at Alabama?
Jalen Hurts will not transfer.
Wow.
He lost the starting job. He's not going to go somewhere else.
he's banking that Tulalua Hua Hua gets hurt.
No, I disagree with that.
Okay.
I think he has decided. I think he realizes he's not going to the NFL. He's not going to be a quarterback in the NFL. He wants to just abide, you know, let his time be at Alabama, be a part of that program. And maybe he wants to go into coaching. I don't know. And he thinks, okay, Nick Saban will bring me on his staff. Maybe he talked to Nick Saban and was like, hey, can you bring me on as a coach, a grad assistant, whenever I graduate? Or just having the Alabama name, he thinks they have a good chance to win a national title. So he wants that ring. But I am shocked, shocked he is not going to transfer.
Hey, do you think maybe he heard my speech to him?
No.
Do you remember the one I told him?
Yes.
Here, let me say it again. This is what I told him when he had just gotten fired from the starting job. I said, "Oh, Jalen, since when are you the quitting type? So you didn't make the dress list. There are greater tragedies in the world. Oh, you're so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung out with the best college in the football. Wait, and you hung out with the best college football team in the land for 2 years." And you're going to walk out of here with a degree from the University of Alabama, Jalen. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, Jalen, it ain't going to never happen. That's what I told him. So do you think maybe he heard that? He's like, you know what? I heard the Sore Losers podcast. I'm not going to quit.
Maybe. But he wouldn't be quitting. He'd just go into another university.
He'd be quitting in Alabama.
Yeah. But I am shocked. But maybe he has decided football's not his future, and so he knew that this was it anyway. But I can't understand why he wouldn't transfer if he wants to play.
But see, if you've made it that far, as you were the starting quarterback for Alabama, you lost that job, but you're that far. How in your mind are you thinking this is the end? Like, you had a lot of eyes on you. People know your name.
But he can't throw the ball. And he knows he can't throw the ball.
It's a hard thing to swallow.
It's a hard pill. Like, man, this is it. It's over. Like, isn't that shocking?
I feel for that. He's had a terrible year. God, I feel for that kid.
I mean, he's handled it with such class.
Now that you've seen. He probably goes home and cries.
Okay, but still, in the public eye, what you want from a leader, he has handled it with class.
Yeah.
I mean, he just said, you know what? It's awesome. Story of the week, Carolina Panthers defensive end, F.A. Abada.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's probably wrong. I don't know what name you're talking about, but it didn't sound right.
No, I probably didn't say it right. He was born in Nigeria, and he moved to the United Kingdom when he was 10.
Okay.
He was homeless. Didn't start playing football until he was 22 years old.
He's a big dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's 6'6", 265 pounds.
That's a big dude.
Okay? So last week, he made the Panthers active roster, the 53-man roster, got to play. He was named NFC Defensive Player of the Week. After not starting football until he was 22, when he was a kid, he was homeless. Had no direction. Didn't know what he was going to do. And that tells you he's just a freak athletically. But how awesome is it in his first game ever to play in the NFL? He wins NFC Player of the Week.
You don't believe in fate? You don't believe that he was born to do this?
No.
I mean, he was definitely not given the cards to have this career or be in the NFL at all, but he has them. And, I mean, part of me is just like, he was supposed to be there.
That, it tells me, like we said the other day, about what age should your kids start playing football?
Yeah.
That when you're good enough, it doesn't matter what age you start playing. You should make it.
Yeah, because you have that.
Yeah, if you start ability. In high school, you'll catch up to the other people because you're that much better than it. Because if Adrian Peterson didn't start till high school, he would have been fine. If Todd Gurley didn't start playing football till his junior year of high school, pretty sure he'd be fine.
Yeah.
This dude, 22 years old.
Who does he play for?
Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
F.A. Abada. Yeah.
That's great.
I read the story on Yahoo, and I mean, he was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
That's inspiring.
He had a sack and an interception. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that should be inspiring to a lot of people. Like, those are the stories that should be the headline. You know?
Instead of what?
Instead of, like, Jalen staying in Alabama. Like, who cares? Like, all right. I feel for the kid, but okay, that's his decision, whatever. Like, that is inspiring. People should read those stories, and people that are down on their luck or whatever, they see, you know what? Like, just because I'm in this situation doesn't mean it's over. Like, look at this guy.
You can't have stories like that be the headline all the time because they're so rare.
Well, I know. I get that. But that's what I'm saying. This is like a gem. I mean, that's a great story. It's so rare. It's a great story. Put it on top. We should have led with that story.
Oh, you think we should have?
Yeah, totally.
Well, sorry. I mean, I just... Yeah, that was by Frank Schwab on Yahoo Sports.
What did you write here? Boxing is dead?
Boxing's dead.
I agree with that.
We talked about it a few weeks ago, and I said, nah, boxing's not dead.
Oh, you changed your mind?
People are still going to the major fights, yeah. Things like that. When HBO came out yesterday and said they were going to do away with live boxing, they're not going to have it on HBO anymore, that tells me boxing's dead.
I mean, that was the life support of boxing.
I agree with you.
Golden Boy Productions.
45 years they've been broadcasting boxing. No more.
So the only thing left would be pay-per-view? No, there's Showtime.
Yeah.
There's Showtime boxing. But that's just an opportunity for other networks to pick it up. I mean, obviously.
But I don't think anybody's going to pick it up.
Well, obviously it's expensive to have to produce boxing and cover boxing and put it up on HBO.
They told the New York Times that in 2018, their boxing coverage averaged 820,000 viewers, which amounts to just 2% of their total audience.
Damn. The rest are watching Entourage.
Well, or what is that one? The Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Things like that. So obviously boxing has lost.
Girls.
Oh, is that on there?
I think so. Is that on HBO?
I don't know. But, I mean, I'm not a boxing guy, so I don't know. But boxing.
But you do. Oh, you don't watch any of the big fights?
Nope.
Mayweather fights?
I watch
only when he's fighting McGregor?
That's it. Because Mayweather's boring to watch. He doesn't hit anybody. He just dodges. It's boring.
I
like to see him slug it out.
Ever since I was a kid, I did have dreams of going to a boxing match, like in Vegas.
Oh, really?
But I don't have those anymore. Like, I don't have the...
I went to some boxing matches in Austin.
At the Irwin Center?
Yes. They were awesome.
How were those?
They were great, because it was like...
A bunch of Mexican guys there. I'm Mexican, by the way, I can say that. But we love boxing, and we can, like, gamble on some boxing. Like, I'm talking, like, not Mexican-American, like, people from Mexico. They just love boxing.
I don't know if it was just Mexican. It was, like, it was kind of like there were some professional bouts and then some amateur bouts mm-hmm. at the same time. Man, it was fun to watch. It was like, I don't even know what the series was or why it was there, but a guy I went to high school with, he was fighting one night, and so
what?
We went. Yeah,
he was fighting?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Did he win?
No, he lost.
Dang it.
He lost the decision.
Oh, did he get beat up pretty good?
Well, he knocked the guy down, the guy knocked him down.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it was pretty good. And then there was another one. I think it was something Vera, last name Vera. My buddy knew him, and he got robbed.
Mexican. Vera.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he got robbed. He won, and they gave the guy.
He got robbed.
Oh man!
Did everyone stuff on the ring?
No, we didn't throw the stuff in the ring. We were all drunk. But
okay.
Maybe I just saw it different, but yes, that's the only boxing I've ever been to live.
Hey, maybe boxing needs a movie, like in the '80s.
They
I
do.
Mean,
they have Creed.
Nah, a better movie. Like Rocky.
Have you seen Creed?
I have. Creed's good.
Creed 2's coming out.
Really?
Yeah, he's gonna fight Ivan Drago's son.
Shut up. Are you making that up? Tell me you're not making that up.
I'm pretty sure that's how it's
That's
gonna go.
Badass. So cool.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony B. Thomas. Who's the actor? Who's Creed?
Michael Jordan? Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan. That dude.
Who did you say?
Michael B. Thomas.
I don't know if you said
Anthony
Michael.
B. Thomas. Yeah. That was way up.
You and your names, are you're on today.
I think I'm just getting old, dude.
Maybe.
I'm just forgetting stuff. I just drank too much in my life.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay. But Michael B. Jordan's a pretty good actor.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. You know where he came from? Friday Night Lights.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
You ever seen
Friday? Hey, whoa. Somebody mentioned this to me the other day, and I didn't know that. Were you in Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do in Friday Night Lights?
I was a coach.
Like a coach for another team?
Yeah. We were getting our butts kicked, and then we finally scored a touchdown.
Hold on. You got to talk about all this.
Okay. So Friday Night Lights.
Wait, how did you get this job?
I will tell you.
Okay.
All right.
How long did you have this job?
God, let me
tell
you.
My bad. Go ahead.
So we moved to Nashville from Austin, Texas, where Friday Night Lights was filmed. So if you've never seen the show, it was on one of the major networks.
Currently we're in Nashville. We used to live in Austin. Yeah.
And so they filmed it there. And I was a huge fan of the show. So I mentioned it on the radio, and they're like, oh, come on out, we'll get you a part. So they made me the coach of an opposing team.
You didn't even have to audition. That's
no,
great.
I was just me.
Pure talent.
Pure talent. Natural actor.
Yeah.
And so my one scene was we're getting our butts kicked, and we finally score a touchdown. And I'm like, yeah.
So that's a close up of you.
I do like a fist pump, and they zoom in on me, and that's it.
That was it.
That's my role.
Oh, you didn't have a speaking line or anything?
No, they did a dub over. Like, I was like, yeah, and they did someone else's voice.
So no, it wasn't even you going, yeah. Oh, that sucks.
No, it's awesome.
Hey, so did you have any other lines that they shot and they just didn't make it?
No, that was it.
Okay.
That was it. I was there for like 5 hours for that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. It's amazing how many times.
Such a waste of time. Waste of money.
Well, they got to get it right.
Well, I get it, but everyone waiting there, catering, all the food, all the production. Every time I've gone to a production site, you know, like a whatever they're making movies, everyone's sitting around, like everyone. And then it even takes the camera 30 minutes to move. One camera, they're like, all right, move the camera to the left. They move it. Dude goes get dinner. This guy goes and gets coffee. They come back and they're like, all right, you guys ready? And then they shoot for 10 seconds and then they take a break for another 30 minutes.
People are going to call me crazy. Acting has to be so hard because there is a lot of downtime. It is hurry up and wait. It's everybody standing around. And so, it looks so fun. It looks like it'd be miserable because you stand there for hours doing nothing.
And then this is what I always think, too. Like, sunset shots, like, do they have to be like, all right, guys, we're all meeting at this place at 6:30 because sunset is at 6:45. And then wait. And they're like, oh, there's a cloud. Forget it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, that sucks. Like, can you imagine? Everyone's there. All 150 people are like, all right, we're ready. Boom, mic and everything. Ah, cloud's in the way. Scratch it. Be here tomorrow, same time.
Have to do that. There's probably things that get in the way all the time that we don't realize, and they have to shoot it over and over and over, and rain. Like, it's not supposed to rain in the scene, and so they're there, and it starts raining. Like, cut, be back tomorrow, same time.
Dang. Yeah, right.
That was my big acting debut. Was on Friday Night Lights.
That's cool, dude. Do you have that? Do you have that to like show your kids?
My reel? No, I don't know. I don't know. My brother started watching Friday Night Lights recently. Like, he's watching the whole series.
What's that on? Netflix? Is it on Netflix?
I guess Netflix. Okay. And he's like, hey, what episode are you in? I'm like, I have no idea.
You got to save that stuff, man. Because like, my grandparents were in this old movie with Marlon Brando.
Okay.
And they shot it in their hometown. And my grandparents opened up the movie with them dancing in the middle of the plaza.
Really?
Yeah. And so, like, we all, every member of our family has that VHS cassette just to remember our grandparents. We'll have that for the rest of our life.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I'll show my kids when they're a little older and be like, look at this. This is your great grandparents.
Have you ever seen The Rookie, Dennis Quaid?
Yeah.
Okay. The janitor in that movie, I don't know. I'm hooked up with his daughter.
What's that?
I hooked up with his daughter.
The janitor of that movie?
Yeah. He's in the movie. I don't know. He's in it, and I hooked up with his daughter.
You watch that movie and go, yeah, that dude doesn't know it, but I hooked up with his daughter.
No, I don't think about that, but you were just talking about movies and being
but
in that.
What does that have to do with anything?
You said your grandparents were in the movie, and so then it made me think about this time when I hooked up with this chick, and like later on she's like, oh, yeah, my dad was in The Rookie, and we watched it.
After you guys hooked up, that was the conversation you guys had?
Well, not right after.
Okay.
Right after, I was like, I got to go. But... It was in college, you know? And,
yeah. Lots of things happen in college.
Yeah, and I guess she was somewhere in Texas. They filmed it somewhere in Texas. And
yeah, I think so.
She was like, yeah, that was my dad. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's just a random story about acting.
That's funny, dude. Good story.
Yeah.
All right.
That's better than your story about your grandparents dancing.
No, I mean, obviously it's better. You hooked up with the dude in the janitor in the movie's daughter.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Wish I remembered her name. I'd give her a shout out. But
you don't remember her name?
Heck no. You know how long ago that was?
I can probably remember everyone I've hooked up with.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
It was always special to me.
Stop. That's like saying you could remember everyone you kissed.
Nah, I probably can't do that.
I mean, I've got triple digits. So
I know the first girl I kissed.
Okay, great. Who?
Amy. She looks just like Joe Montana.
That's right. You made out with her because she looked like Joe
That's
Montana.
Right.
I made out with Kelly because it was Truth or Dare.
Yeah?
Yeah, Truth or Dare.
And you did Dare?
I did Dare, and Jackson Baker was like, I dare you to kiss Kelly.
How old were you?
I was summer after fifth grade. And
nice.
So I was like, and he goes, oh, you don't know how to do it? Here, I'll show you how to do it. And he took Brooke Williams and French kissed her. And he goes, that's how you do it.
But didn't you lose your virginity like in fifth grade?
What?
What'd you, seventh grade?
What?
No, we've talked about this, not on the podcast, but on a radio show, right?
No, not that young. Are you crazy?
Well, then, but...
Seventh grade?
Eighth grade.
No.
Ninth grade.
No.
Tenth?
Yeah.
Still early. Yeah. That's still real early.
No, you're 16.
Oof. Mine was 19.
Okay.
That's late.
But you thought I was in fifth grade?
I didn't know, dude. You were in a gang called Little White Criminals. Like,
yeah,
you
French
were
kissing.
French kissing
of
fifth grade. Who knows what you did? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I was a wild man.
That's
let me
what
tell
saying.
You. I got around.
Yeah, you did.
I spread the love.
I'm shocked you're still alive.
I am too. Damn. And I got nothing to show for it.
You got nothing.
Which is a good thing.
That is good.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean by kids?
No, I'm talking about diseases.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel awkward because my buddy John and his daughter are in here.
Oh,
my bad.
How old is his daughter?
How old are you, Chloe? 15. Zoe? Sorry, not Chloe. 15. Awkward.
Oh, this is getting awkward.
Real awkward. All right, moving on.
Cannot believe we just talked about this in front of her.
I know.
Yeah.
It's my bad.
Her dad over here is like, what?
Sorry,
in the
John.
He's like, great. Now we're going to have the birds and the bees talk.
Yeah. Have you had the birds and the bees talk?
Turn his mic on. I want to know about this.
Here. John, get on that mic. This one over there.
You have a 15-year-old daughter.
And Zoe, if you want to chime in too.
Have you had the birds and the bees?
No, she's a responsible young lady. You've been out with like four guys or whatever, right?
Three
guys.
Is this awkward for you?
No.
She's talking about all this on a podcast.
I mean, it kind of got awkward at the beginning when you guys start talking about the repairman.
Hey, that's Lunchbox, dude. Sorry about that.
But she lives with me, and so she's heard worse stuff. So she's a very mature young lady. She's great. So
hey, now that John's here, so John, we were talking about when to start your kids in football and contact sports. We had the conversation earlier this week, and your two boys play football, right?
My oldest stopped playing at Cedar Park in Austin,
and your little one's playing. How old is he?
My little one's playing. He just fractured his elbow last week.
How old is he?
He's 12. He just turned 12.
And when did he start playing football?
Second grade.
Yeah.
Tackle football.
Yeah, he's a bad A, though.
Second grade. How old is that?
He's
That's 7 years old.
Is it seven?
Because
he's really good, though. It's hard. He would not want to stop playing. I think about that all the time, though, with the CTE and all that stuff. So
it does worry you as a parent that has kids that plays football.
Sure,
it freaks you out.
Yeah, you know, at that age, the team he plays on, they will knock the you know what out of you. They hit pretty hard, and he's been hit, and he's hit some people pretty hard. But it does. But he loves it so much, man. It'd be hard to take it away from him. You know.
Would you feel like a hypocrite because you watch football with him?
Oh my gosh. This makes no sense.
No, this is my whole thing. Is if I have a kid, I have a son now. He's 10 weeks old.
He plays football too.
I've heard.
And when he gets older, and we're watching football. And then he goes, hey, man, I want to play football. And if I told him no, he'd be like, what? We watch football. How come I can't? Hey, I would feel like a hypocrite.
Yeah, yeah. And I played growing up, and I loved it. I mean, I'm not saying that I believe all that stuff. I believe that their head traumas is a real thing. But, I mean, it's like it's part of American youth to me. I mean, it'd be hard for me to take it away from him. You know, if he said he didn't want to play anymore, and believe me, if he got a really bad concussion or something.
You'd take him out?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to, his mom and I would have a good discussion about it. But we both support, you know, he loves it. I mean, it makes him a part of something, which is, you know, a really big thing when you're that age. You know, when he went from elementary school to middle school, he had his whole football team as buddies, you know, and that just, socially, it's helped him a lot, I think. Wouldn't you think, Zoe?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some times I've, you know, if you're a human being, you question, you know, I will feel awful if he got hurt really badly. That's for sure. But he loves it.
That's not on you though. I mean, he loves to do that. You support him in what he loves to do.
Yeah, but as a parent, he's not. You know, I have to make decisions for him, and his mom has to make decisions for him until he's 18.
But he's not the only kid playing football.
No, he's not. And his best friends. Brothers that he'll have, he's known him since second grade, and they'll be lifelong friends. Taking that away from him would break his heart, you know. So I think that's something you got to weigh in there too. But I have no problem with parents saying, you know, especially with football and not letting their kids play. I wouldn't judge anybody for doing that.
John, you played football growing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
How has it changed with even seeing your older son?
Well, I've had five concussions in my life
that you know of.
Yes, I had one and. I got one in basketball one time from my chin landed on a guy's head, and I played the next day. I don't even remember the game. But So that's a much more, you know, like I coached my son's team, my youngest ones, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And they put us through a very rigorous CTE, you know, like what to if there is any chance you pull them out of the game and they're, you know, they're in concussion protocol. And then you have to, we're teaching them how to tackle differently than they used to tackle, more with their arms. And like it's a Seattle Seahawks, it's their, the way they teach their players to tackle is not lead with the head.
Yeah. Did you watch Thielen last night get pulled out of the game because they had to do a head check?
Yeah, I did.
Concussion protocol. And he was so mad.
Yeah.
But he did look like he was dazed.
Sure. Yeah.
When he got up, he was kind of like, whoa, and he kind of grabbed his head like, hold on, I got to get my bearings.
They just don't want to get pulled out of the game. I get it. But
and Zane's had one or two concussions.
Oh, my gosh.
He's had one.
And he got, but he didn't
and
get to play
12.
Football. He didn't get to
oh,
play
really?
Football. Oh, really? He fell in recess playing pickup football.
Of course.
So it wasn't, you know, I mean, it wasn't.
I guess that's kind of...
Am I supposed to take him out of school? I mean, because he had a concussion at school? I mean...
Well, that's the thing, too. You know, it's like you look at football because that's what they do. That's the point of the game is for them to just battle it out and hit each other. And they're doing recess and it happens. Like, you can't control it, but it's like being in a car wreck, you know? Like, it's just, you can't... Everyone drives cars, you know?
Hey, man, by the time you got... Your boys are old enough to really... You know, yours are getting close, I guess. And you got a few years. Who knows what football's going to be like by the time your son... I mean, they're talking... The way they're changing the rules in the NFL, it's...
It's going to be two-hand touch.
Flag football now. So.
Well, professional two-hand touch, yeah. NFL. Sunday night, the Cowboys and the Vikings, two-hand touch.
Guys, it is still a violent game. There are some...
Oh, of course it is.
They are just taking the head hitting out.
Yeah, and the quarterback just laying down on a pillow.
That's why Zoe plays golf.
Smart, Zoe. Hey, but real quick, I want to talk about John. So, John, the reason he's here, because you work for a TV production, right? And sports...
Mm-hmm. I work for a group out of Chicago.
What game are you covering this week?
I'm doing Western Kentucky and Marshall. We're just up the road here from Nashville.
So John is the technical director.
No, I'm the producer, actually. But that's
my bad.
Okay.
My bad. Did you graduate from the...
I've been producing for like 5 years now,
damn,
dude.
I'm an
sorry.
Idiot.
I mean, it's, you know.
All right.
Is this going to get interesting at any point?
He's the main dude. So
is the story going to get interesting?
So when you watch the game, he's the dude behind it. So if you have any questions, like when you're watching the game, we talked about something, John, a while back. About why sideline reporters even exist.
I got to be careful with this answer.
Hey, man, no one listens to this podcast, so just let it rip.
One of the girl that's working with us this week works for the NFL Network. Her name's Danny Kleppinger, and she's really good. I mean, and they put a lot of work into it. I will say that. As a viewer, if I'm not working it, I don't personally
care for it.
I don't. It's not that I don't care for it. I just don't need it. I mean, but I love football or sports, so I kind of know what I'm looking at. I don't need to be told the safety got, you know, or whoever's hurt is hurt or whatever. I don't need that. But it's an entertainment thing, man. It's an entertainment business, and that's, you know, guys that are watching football like to look at pretty girls. So
absolutely.
No, yeah. I know that that's the case. But
it's your business.
It's
really.
Also a time filler too, right?
Yeah, but they're going to show the hot chick over they're not going to just show the parking lot. I mean,
yeah.
It's more interesting to see a hot chick eating a hot dog.
And they do bring
eating
something
a
to the
hot
table.
Dog?
They do bring something to the table, I think, a lot when it comes to like what's going on the sidelines and talking to the coaches. There's sometimes, although coaches would tell you, they're going to tell them, you know, the only guy that has that down to an art is like Popovich. He'll just mess with them, you know. But a lot of coaches you'll get some good stuff out of them sometimes.
Really? You think so? Because when I watch them, oh, we need to score better. We need to tackle better. All right.
No,
I
mean, yeah, there's
pretty
still
generic.
A hole. We got to play better. We got to quit turning the ball over. There's
yes,
a lot of that. There's a lot of
never
that.
Anything they're going to reveal to you during a game or in halftime that in any way, because the other team could be someone watching the game, and it's like they're not going to say anything important. Like, I understand, like, when, okay, so-and-so's out for the game because he had an ankle injury. Great. I saw him limp off the field. I just want to know if he's coming back. That's good. But when they interview the coaches, it's a waste of my time.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, like I said, I got to be careful because I got a lot of friends that do it, and they that's their livelihood, and they really put a lot of passion and work into it, you know. So, but it is an entertainment business, man. That's what it is. It's an entertainment business, and what I'm doing now is really cool. It's like your guys are doing a podcast. What I do, the game I'm doing tomorrow is over the air on TV, as you can catch it on in Nashville or whatever or wherever, and then it's also streamed on Facebook live. So we stay in the breaks during Facebook. So it's a whole new thing that a lot of that's the way things are going. is so social media. You can watch the game on your phone, and you can and you we, they'll comment on, and that's what, another good reason to have the sideline person is people comment like, hey, why aren't they doing this? They should run this play. They should run this play. And the talent will actually answer the questions of what are on Facebook on the air.
That's cool.
So it's kind of an interactive thing.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's a totally different. That's where it's headed. I can tell you that. It's Facebook. We're really heavily involved with Facebook.
Another question for you.
Yeah.
So the sportscasters, how much knowledge do they have versus how much
is fed to their ear?
Is fed to their ear or the stats?
So that's what I do. I feed stuff to their ear. But like again, the guy I'm using played for the Cowboys. He played for the Redskins, and his name's Ross Tucker. He was the backup.
Oh yeah, he's good.
He was a backup lineman for Larry Allen at Dallas. So he's good.
He's a good dude.
Well, and then Max Starks is another guy I work with who's the left tackle for the Steelers with one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So those guys know what they're talking about. And then they're the analysts. They're the analysts.
Oh right.
So
the color.
Yeah, the color. But the play-by-play guys are play-by-play guys. A lot of them have played. Some of them haven't played, but they know how to involve the analysts.
I wonder if people know that. We know it because we're in broadcast, but I wonder if people realize that one guy, Joe Buck, like last night, for example, is the play-by-play commentator. Yeah. He's the guy that'll always be...
He sets up Troy.
He's going to tell you what's going on in the field, and then Troy will give you kind of the opinionated...
Yeah.
Because Troy Aikman played football at the highest level. And I think people realize that when they watch the game. I would hope they watch it.
I would hope they know that who Troy Aikman is.
No. I'm talking about the different roles.
Yeah, I don't know what people do.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, we do. I do.
I think
I'm shocked Eddie does.
I think most people that watch it know Troy Aikman, but.
He's saying they know the difference between the two people. Their roles.
I got you. Well,
I think when you watch the game, it's pretty obvious. Yeah. Like if you have the sound on, you hear one guy go play by play and the other guy give opinions.
And the guy that's giving the opinions or the Aikman or whoever that is, the Romo. Whoever's doing it, the play by play guys. Yeah, let's drop all the Cowboy names.
Oh my gosh, you guys are such losers.
But the play by play guy sets those guys up, and because they're not gonna, Joe Buck's not gonna go, well, I think they should, blitz the safety on that, or they're not. Why are they playing a 4-3 and they should be playing a 3-4? He's just going to say, Troy, what do you think? And then Troy's going to pontificate on that.
Oh, good word.
Ooh, pontificate.
Pontificate. Can you break that down? We're pretty dumb here in this podcast.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Short loser show on Twitter. If you know what pontificate means.
What is that?
Did you see CC
Sabathia
yesterday?
No.
Cost himself $500,000.
Did he throw a bat?
No. He was two innings away. He was throwing a one hitter. From reaching his, he had an innings bonus. He had two innings to go.
What does that mean, innings bonus?
Like if he throws
all that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
In his contract, it was like if he throws 150 innings, whatever, this year, he gets a $500,000 bonus.
Got it, because he's a pitcher.
Yes. So for the Yankees.
Yeah.
He's two innings away, and he gets ejected from the game yesterday.
What did he do?
Ultimate teammate. The catcher for the Yankees, Austin Romine, got thrown. The Devil Rays pitcher threw one behind his head.
Okay.
So Sabathia takes him out next inning. Boom! Plunks the dude in the knee. Ejected.
Wow. How much was that bonus?
$500,000.
Okay. So do you think that he forgot about the bonus?
No. He knew.
He knew what he was doing?
He knew exactly. Going into that game, he knew how many innings he needed for that $500,000.
So what? $500,000 is just chump change to him?
Yes. It's called being a good teammate. He said, $500,000 is not as important as being a good teammate.
See, I always say that they don't care about
exactly.
Team
you
sports.
Always
it's
say
all
that.
About money. That's why they're professionals. It's about money. This blows my mind that he would do that. I say he just got caught in the moment.
No, he knew. He knew going in to the game that he had to pitch seven
the whatever
innings, the game. I'm trying to look up his career earnings right now.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously he makes a crap load of money.
Yeah.
So $500,000 probably is nothing. I get it.
Yeah, his last contract was 7 years, $161 million.
But I don't care if I have a lot of money and you're giving me $500,000 just to throw one more pitch. Like, what the? That's crazy, man.
That's called being a good teammate.
I don't know. I think he lost his mind and just forgot where he was in the game.
You don't think he's just being, when he goes back to the locker room, everybody has to be like, respect. Like, mad respect.
Yeah, you just gave up $500,000.
For the betterment of our team.
Yeah.
To protect our players. That tells
But what he did wasn't to protect the players.
Yeah, it was.
Not really.
That's exactly what that is. That says if you're going to throw at my player, if
I'm
going to
throw it at you.
Your boys are about to get hit.
That sounds stupid. That's not protection.
That's absolutely what it is.
That's street protection. Like, hey, you come into my hood, you shoot up, I'm going to go to your hood and shoot it up.
Well, that's basically what it is.
That's dumb. Guys, we're professionals. We're adults. Like, what are we talking about? We're here to make money. And, like, you're going to just waste $500,000? This story is crazy to me.
That's what baseball is. They have the unwritten rules where you have to protect, or else people could just go throw at your hitters and you do nothing back. The other pitchers think, okay, I can hit their players with no repercussions.
Whenever I see that big, you know, fight going on in the field and everyone, the team against team, I'm the dude in the dugout and be like, all right, I'm out. Let these dudes fight it out. Like, I'm not getting hurt in there. That's crazy. Maybe I'm just cut from a different cloth. That's crazy.
You're not going to have your teammates back?
Nah. Now if my son's fighting or he's getting his butt kicked out, I'll go in there and back him
up. So you're not going to have your teammates back. You're the little...
Look, dude, I'm not an athlete, so let's just break it down, you and me here.
No, I'm
somebody starts jumping you know, in the parking lot. Like, we're teammates, right? Somebody starts jumping
different,
you in the parking lot.
Totally different.
How is that different?
We're not in the trenches together.
Yeah, we are. What do you call this?
This is not anything.
Guys, well, right now, we're in the trench.
No, baseball players are together for 9 months out of the year.
We're here we're here every week of the year.
Oh,
Monday through Friday, you and me in the trenches.
No.
So you're trying to back off because you're trying to change your mind because you wouldn't back me up.
Yes, I would.
If I was getting my butt kicked in the alley, you would probably do what?
I would go after him.
No, you'd be like, fight back, Eddie. Harder. Punch him.
No, if there's two people jumping
you. Eddie, cover your face.
If there's two people jumping you, I would jump in.
You would?
Yes.
That's legit.
But you would be the little sissy that stays outside the fight in the baseball.
I would call the cop. Oh, in baseball? Yeah, I'd stay in the dugout.
Why?
Or maybe get my phone. Like, where's my phone? Let me go straight to live Instagram. Yeah, I'm not fighting, dude. I'm an adult. Like, we don't fight.
Yes, they fight in football. They fight in basketball. They fight in baseball. I mean, I don't understand what you're saying about this.
There's a certain player that fights.
Who? Like,
I don't know. I'm saying there's
a
certain person out. Nah, they don't all do. Tim Duncan never fought. Like, Tony Parker doesn't fight.
If it came down to it, he would.
LeBron doesn't really even fight. Like... No
one's going to mess with LeBron because he's the biggest dude in the...
I get it. But you know, like, there's just a certain personality that fights. I'm not that personality.
Sabathia is a fat dude. He doesn't fight, but what did he do? He said, I'll fight for my team.
Fat dudes don't fight?
Well, he's not a fighter. I'm saying he doesn't look like the fighting type.
I'm not saying what you look like. I'm saying deep inside, like, there are fighters and there are non-fighters. I'm a non-fighter. I've never gotten into a fight my whole life.
I'm not a fighter either.
You were in a gang.
Yes, I was. The Little White Criminals.
That's right.
But I would fight if it came down to it.
You guys were how old, 10?
8, 9, 10, 11, 8, 9, 10, 12. 11.
Hardcore.
We were crazy, dude.
They ever do like gangland documentaries on you?
No, they should. They should have done a gangland documentary
because
we had a lot of stories. Let me tell you. We used to think we should make a video game about our neighborhood growing up, but then they came out with Grand Theft Auto and they kind of stole our...
Same concept.
Yeah, same concept. Yeah. Stole our thunder.
Did y'all ever steal a car?
No, I never stole a car.
What's the worst thing, Little White Criminals? Hey, this is Statue of Limitations, so we're good, right?
One of our best ones ever that we did, our little prank, we did fake fighting. We would put different colored bandanas on.
Oh, just to lure cops?
No. So you would wait until a car's coming, then you would act like you're jumping someone in the middle of the road. And they would have an opposite colored bandana on. And when the car got close enough, we'd all scatter and leave the person laying in the street.
Oh, my God.
And then the person would get up and kind of limp off, and the car would be like, are you okay? You know, you want me to do anything? And they no. And sometimes they'd call the cops.
So what was the point, though? So you guys can carjack the car once they got out to check?
No, it's just fun to run.
Oh.
And it's fun to run from the cops. It was fun to run from the cops.
Oh.
Like, one time I was doing it with my buddy Josh, and then Aaron and his little brother Brandon. And we were fake jumping Brandon for like an hour, and no one would stop. So Aaron and Brandon had a curfew. They go home, and Josh would spend the night with me. And so my sister's friend, Kamika and Jennifer, they came over. So then we do it with them, and we fake like we're jumping Kamika. Or no, we fake like we're jumping
what?
Jennifer. Jennifer.
Oh, my goodness.
And she starts limping, and this old lady rolls in. Are you okay, honey? You want to ride home? She goes, no, it'll just get worse. It'll just get worse. It'll be okay. And so then we're sitting on the curb 5 minutes later, right? And all of a sudden, this car just starts whoo, hauling. So we run to the fence, and we're trying to open the gate, and boom, spotlight says, police. When you look back, we're like, uh-oh, swing open the gate, and we run through the backyard, and the two fences, you know, connecting the two backyards, yeah. It was down because they were doing repairs. So I run to the other gate, and I can't get it open. So I dive over the top of the fence and scrape my chest all on the fence and get up and run in the woods. Josh runs, can't get it open, dives over the fence. The girls run up, and they just open the gate. So we get in the woods, right? And Kamika,
oh my goodness,
her house backed up to the woods.
Yeah.
And you know how my brother burned down the woods?
Yes.
It's the same woods we ran into.
Oh,
they,
perfect.
They had regrown.
Thanks for the image.
Yes. And so there's a, you know, a dead end of a street.
Sure.
We had to jump. We had to jump out of the woods, run across the street, and jump back in the woods. Okay. So I run across, jump in the woods. What, you're not interested in this?
I know I am. I'm just crazy. I'm shocked at how you're still alive, man. Like, it's crazy stories.
This is crazy. So I jump out of the woods, run across the street, jump back in the woods. Josh jumps out of the woods, runs across the street, and he's behind the fence, and a cop pulls in the dead end.
Why?
And I'm like, oh, they're all busted. I'm leaving them. So I go to Kamika's house, and I'm sitting in the backyard, and I'm watching a cop car drive up and down the street, up and down the street.
That'd make your heart race.
Oh yeah, dude! I'm.
That's what you're doing it for, huh?
Exactly.
The adrenaline,
baby. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I hear some noise by Kamika's back fence. I'm like, oh, it's the cops, and I'm gonna just turn myself in. I'm like, all right, I'm right here, and it's them. And I'm like, what happened? How'd you guys get here? And they're like, oh, the cop just pulled in, turned around, and went out. And so we get in Kamika's house, right?
This is too long. Like, the story's already too long.
You really think so? I think people are on the edge of their
okay,
seat right
okay.
now.
Go.
So. I get a call right when we get in Kamika's house, because it was right in front of my house where this all went down.
Yeah.
And it's my dad. Are the cops looking for you? No. Don't lie to me. Okay, yeah. Get your ass home right now. Okay, we hang up. And Josh and I are about to walk out and walk home, and we got burrs all up our legs. You know,
we've been in the woods.
We've been running through the woods, and my dad calls back and goes, well, there's 8 cop cars out front. Why don't you wait till they leave and then come home?
Oh, nice. Your dad's got your back.
Dude, that was one of the better ones, yeah.
Hey, what I don't understand is how the cops, the fire department, every story you've talked about your little white criminals and your little shenanigans,
yeah.
They all have your home phone number.
No, the fire department, they just went around and, no, we were doing the stuff in front of my house.
I think you had a record. I think you had, like, they had post-it note, lunchbox lives here.
Or else the cops would have gone to my house. They didn't know. They didn't go to my house.
Oh, just, your dad just figured it was you because the cops were out in front of your house.
Yes.
They weren't at your house
looking
for you.
They weren't at my house looking for me.
Okay.
No, they were just out there.
I was like, dude, you've told too many stories of where the cops know where you live and the fire department calls your dad. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's just one of my cop stories. I got plenty more, but we can't get up to them all today.
So did you get all that out of your system? Like, are you still commit crimes here and there?
I don't even know if it was a crime.
Everything you've talked about is a crime.
No, fake fighting is not a crime.
Yeah, you're making someone stop. And like,
we're not making them. They decide to stop.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Can we
try this? Let's try it now as adults. See if it works.
It will. I promise you. At nighttime, if you act like you're jumping someone in the middle of the road, someone will call the cops.
Coach, I'm not doing that. The only thing I have wanted to do is have Lunchbox walk in front of a cop, like at a red light. You know, a cop, Lunchbox walk right in front of the cop in the crosswalk. Stop, look at the cop, and then just run full speed and see what happens.
Here's my question. Why does it have to be me? Why can't it be you?
Yeah, because I'm not a good runner.
Neither am I.
You're a fast runner.
I understand that, but that's why it's even funnier.
And it's an experiment. It's an experiment. See what the cop would do.
It's a better experiment with you because there's a better chance they'll catch you. Me, I'm just too fast.
I know. We don't want to get caught. We just want to see what the cop does.
Oh, yeah.
Should we do a YouTube video on that?
No, I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out. All right. Before we go, NFL and college this weekend.
Yeah.
You got any games? I cannot wait. Ohio State travels to Penn State. I'm going to say take Ohio State minus the 3.5 or 4.5, whatever the line's at right now. But I like Ohio State.
Okay. And did you cover last night? Just to go back real quick. Did you cover on the Rams -7?
It was a push.
It was a push because it was a 7-point game.
Yeah, 7-point game. So no one won. If you bet that game, you got your money back.
Okay.
Everybody got their money back. No one won. No,
no harm,
one
no foul.
Yeah. So
okay.
You locked it up, whatever you did, whatever.
All right, that's fair enough.
NFL this weekend.
NFL, I'm just ready for the Cowboys to win another game. So I'm looking forward to that, Cowboys, Lions. I think we got this, so I'm excited about this week. And then if we can just win this game, then we're good because we go to the Texans next week, the week after that. So smooth sailing.
You are so funny. I love it. I love how it's smooth sailing. You guys are 1-2, but it's smooth sailing.
I mean, if we can win this week, smooth sailing.
Is that your lock? Is the Cowboys are going to cover the 3 points?
Correct. That's my lock.
You're drunk.
No, I'm not.
Well, you should be.
Not yet. I'd love to be.
Man, who do I love this week? And I like the Bengals.
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Falcons. And I think they're getting 5 points. 5.5 points. And I like the Bengals plus the 5.
That's risky.
No, it's not that risky.
I think it is.
I like it a lot.
Why? Give me some insight.
Atlanta's missing like 4 defensive starters. They lost 2 of them at least for the year. And I just don't think their defense is good enough. I think the Bengals have a decent defense. And I see it being a field goal game. That's just my feeling right now. Like,
yeah, I see that game being really close.
I mean, the Bengals are better than we thought they were. And, yeah. I'm excited for the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game because they always play close. It's always usually mm-hmm. about a field goal game. So that should be a fun game to watch.
Coach, what about in college? I told you, I've been talking about it for 2 weeks straight. Number 2, Clemson is number 2 or number 3?
Number what 2.
Number 2, Clemson plays Syracuse. The Orangemen will beat Clemson. That's your upset of the week.
Okay.
That's
if not,
cool.
We shave your eyebrows.
Can we trim them?
No, we shave them.
Like, just trim them.
No. You've been talking about it for 2 weeks. You've been telling people to bet. I mean, it's only a 22-point spread. So, I mean, you're so confident in Syracuse. Are you shaving your eyebrows?
22-point spread, huh?
Yeah. That's how many Clemson's favored by.
Yeah.
And they're going to cover that.
Man, no. You take the
Orangemen.
Yeah,
they are.
Give the Orangemen 22 points. We got this.
And it's not the Orangemen anymore.
What are they?
Syracuse Orange.
Why aren't they Orangemen?
Sexist.
Fine. Take the Orange women.
No, it's just Orange.
So either way, it'd be sexist.
Yes, it's just orange.
What's wrong
Syracuse
with us?
Orange.
Why can't we just say words?
No, don't get into that. We don't want to get into that.
Just saying.
It's all about equality.
I get it. I like equality. I just, it's a word.
Yeah, but it's a mascot, and if it's the orange men, you're not cheering for the women.
Okay.
Syracuse Orange win.
All right. Hey, what about Notre Dame Stanford? This is going to be the telltale. This is going to be how good is Notre Dame?
Yeah.
So I've always said Notre Dame's good. Always said. The beginning of the year, I said Notre Dame's good. Watch out
for Notre Dame. Because they were ranked number 5 in the preseason poll.
But no, I told you I don't care about rankings.
No, you have to. You
no, I don't.
Yes.
I don't care about rankings. Rankings are full of crap.
If they were not number 5, you would not have said, oh, they're good.
Like, I could have come out with a ranking.
Okay, so what made them good in the preseason? Why did you think Notre Dame was good?
Rudy.
That's it.
Of course. Chip Kelly. He's not even the coach anymore.
He was never the coach.
Oh. Rob Kelly.
He's the backup running back for the Redskins.
Bill Kelly. What's his name?
Oh, my gosh.
Help me out.
Jim Kelly.
No. No, he's the Buffalo Bills. You got me. See, I know my 90s football, dude.
All right, we're out.
Who's the coach of the
Look it up.
Irish?
This is how you always tell me this with music. Oh, you'll never learn unless you look it up. So look it up.
I parent you in music.
Yes, right. You do.
Do you parent me in sports?
No, I should. I should not get frustrated. I should just parent.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get frustrated with me, Dad. Just teach me a little. Throw the ball with me in the backyard.
Oh, boy. All right. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you guys have a good weekend. Thanks for listening to the Sports Losers Podcast. John, Zoe, thanks for joining.
Yeah, I may have got awkward. Sorry, guys.
You guys are really good. Zoe, we apologize for anything Lunchbox may have said. Dad, sorry about that.
All good.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leave you with a buzzer.